WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. A very wet Friday morning. The rain is still coming down. And if you are heading out, be aware of that. Make sure you bring your umbrella. Bring your rain gear, as the ABC 6 meteorologists always like to remind us. It could be worse. It still could be snow. Just because it's March 29th doesn't mean that it couldn't still be snow. So keep that in mind. And at least it's, you know, it's about 41 degrees out, so it's not as bad as it could be. And as I've been saying, at least it's not as windy as it was. Although I still see the wind blowing around a little bit, it's not as bad as it was earlier this week. So we were talking earlier about the article I have at WBSM.com and on the app. If you have a few moments, you want to check it out. Want a little light reading this morning before you have to deal with all the hard news of the day, which we'll get into some of that. But if you want to read something that's a little bit more brainless, he says, because he's the one that wrote it. But I have an article where I look at what life was like 20 years ago when the Red Sox embarked on the beginning of the 2004 MLB season, the one in which they, quote-unquote, reversed the curse. And I was talking about what was popular on TV at the time. The Sopranos, still one of the biggest shows on television at the time. Sex and the City had just wrapped up. Hard to believe that that show ended 20 years ago. I mean, I know it's back now in a different form, but still. Friends was still on the air when the Red Sox started the 2004 season. They had the series finale about a month later. Shrek 2 was the biggest movie of the year that year. But people weren't even quoting Napoleon Dynamite yet, because that didn't come out until after the Red Sox season started. And they certainly weren't quoting Borat yet. Borat was just a character on the Ali G show that I didn't know anybody that watched it back then. I used to tell people, you've got to see this Borat guy. And then people were like, I don't watch that show. And then in 2007, the Borat movie comes out and all of a sudden everybody's like, very nice. Yeah, I know. I told you that. But anyway, the world was very different. We didn't have smartphones. We did have iPods. And in fact, in 2004, people were excited because the iPod Nano came out and you could get different colored iPods. Ooh, yeah. Not just white or black anymore. And also, that same year, the iPod Photo came out, when you could actually have pictures in your iPod. You couldn't take pictures with your iPod, but you could have pictures in your iPod. We were still 3 years away from the iPhone at that point and 5 years away from the Samsung Galaxy. If you had a smartphone, it was not really a smartphone. It was what they called a personal data assistant, a PDA, a BlackBerry, or a Palm Pilot. I remember when I first got a BlackBerry and I was like, oh my God, I can do so much on this. And then Android phones came out and everybody's like, well, you should really get an Android. I'm like, no, I'm fine with my BlackBerry. And I held on to the BlackBerry for way too long. I had the BlackBerry Pearl, the one that had the little round trackball in the middle. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so much better. I'd much rather have a round ball than a flat pad. Yeah, that didn't last. Kept falling out. I kept having to take it out and clean it because It would get locked up from like the grime on your hands. Especially I was working in a kitchen at the time. So I'd have to take out the little ball, roll it in some alcohol or something to clean it, dry it off, put it back in the phone. And eventually the little bezel that held it in just stopped holding it in. I was like, well, I guess I'll get one of those trackpads. What a difference that made. So much better. But thankfully, we don't have to worry about any of that anymore because we touch the screens. Now, instead of getting grime on our trackballs, we just get greasy fingerprints all over our screens. You might not have even... this is something I didn't even put into the article, but you probably didn't even have broadband internet in your home in 2004. A lot of people didn't still. A lot of people were still using dial-up. They were still using the internet on a minute-by-minute basis in some cases. They were still using AOL to access the internet. That was my favorite, was when I would have like friends or family who were paying whatever they were paying for internet access into their home in 2004 or around that time, but then also paying for an AOL subscription. And I'm like, you don't need to have the AOL subscription. You already have the internet coming into your house. Yeah, but I don't know how to get around the internet without using AOL. And that's what they want you to think. And by the way, kudos to you in 2024 if you are still using your AOL email address like my brother. I don't know how anybody... people crack on me because I use a Hotmail address. Hotmail? Like, yeah, of course. I have a Gmail, of course. But my Hotmail is what I've been using for years and I still use it. And people laugh at me for it. But... at least I'm not using an AOL. I still remember my AOL screen name, though. It was Tim DX because, you know, wrestling was huge at the time. But I had to have a second X because somebody already had Tim DX with one X. So whatever. I'll just add an extra X. That's what we did back in the 90s. We just added extra X's and we used Z's instead of S's. We thought we were cool. But yes, 2004, 20 years ago, when the Red Sox embarked on that season, and I think people had high hopes at the beginning of that year, but we also knew we had a history of getting disappointed. And I think it was that Dave Roberts steal of second base that really kind of shifted everybody's thinking. I think we were doom and gloom right up to that point. But anyway, this season may not have the same end result, but you never know. Sometimes the Red Sox surprise us. 508-996-0500. So there are a few news stories that I want to share with you. One comes out of Swansea. And we have the story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and it's worth taking a look so you can see this vehicle. But apparently, yesterday afternoon, there was a man who tried to lure two girls behind the Target store into his vehicle. This man is described as being in his 60s with gray hair and an average build, and that he was driving a four-door dark blue sedan, possibly a Hyundai Sonata. And at about 2:45 yesterday afternoon, he allegedly approached two girls as they walked down the bicycle path on Milford Road behind the Target store on the GAR highway. And he is said to have asked those girls if they wanted a ride. The girls were like, "What did you say?" He's like, "Do you guys want a ride?" And then girls ran away. And the security cameras at Target caught them running toward the store and also caught him sitting in the parking lot kind of waiting for them. So Swansea police released a photo of the vehicle from the Target surveillance cameras. Target, please upgrade your surveillance cameras. The image is horrible. But at least it's something. So if you have any information, all the information is in the story to be able to contact Swansea Police and give them more info. So that is one thing to check out and keep an eye on. There's also a story, WCVB had this story this morning. And maybe I'm just not getting enough details from this particular report. But there's an issue on Nantucket where there's a photograph of a few Nantucket high school students holding up what appears to be a, quote, very inappropriate racial slur on a sign or something in a photograph. So this was brought to the attention of the high school administration by some other students. And then they alerted parents Tuesday afternoon about this. And what they told the school, what they told the parents was, we are sending you this message because it is essential that you know, students, parents, and Nantucket community members, that we do not condone nor will we tolerate any racial slurs or racist behavior from anyone in our school community. But according to Superintendent Beth Hallett, this photo was taken outside of school hours, but Nantucket Public Schools is investigating the incident and has started talking to students and parents because the picture is having a large impact on the Nantucket High School student body. Sorry, I had to sneeze there. So they said they'll be monitoring the health and well-being of students as the investigation continues and expect there will be reparations that are suitable to the damage caused to our school community. And that they are considering holding a forum rather, that would allow students to process the incident and discuss the school district's next steps to prevent future incidents of racial discrimination within Nantucket schools and beyond. Well, the biggest question that I have here is, it says that it happened outside of school hours. Did it happen on school grounds? Because I get it. I get it if it's like being passed around through the student body and upsetting students, you know, needing to have discussion about that. I understand that. But I don't know if it didn't happen on school property, what the school can do about it. It becomes something certainly for the police to handle or for the students' parents to handle. And maybe I'm missing something and maybe it's inferring that it happened on school property just by the fact that the school administration is responding to it. So perhaps it was at a sports game or at an after-school activity or just kids hanging around outside school after hours. But I think we need a little bit more information there. I'm going to have to look around and see if I can find some other reporting. Because I encountered that situation when I was in high school. Not that I was in trouble for it, but I oversaw the AV room and produced the morning show that we did there with the morning news. And one of our kids that was involved with that got in trouble for something he did that had nothing to do with school. It happened downtown Wareham. He got into a fight with another student downtown. And he was suspended from the morning show. And I understand, well, he was suspended from school too. And I understand, you know, not wanting to have that carry over into school, but I couldn't understand why the school could suspend a student for something that happened outside of school that had nothing to do with school. Just because the student, they were both students at the school, they know each other outside of school too. Like, so I couldn't understand. And I still don't. I guess maybe you're trying to keep it from spilling over into school. But this was a personal problem between two kids that sometimes it needs to be resolved with them either sitting down and talking or just, you know, fighting it out until they get it out of their system. And in this particular case, these two kids were friends, but that friendship had just gone sour and eventually was repaired and all that stuff. But you know how it is with kids. You're my best friend. I hate you. You know, that kind of thing. But I just still couldn't understand. Like, it happened outside of school, not during school hours, not on school property. How are you suspending this kid from school? Anyway, so I'll see if I can find some more information about that. But also, kids, stop doing that kind of stuff. Because when you do that kind of stuff, most of us know or assume that you're not doing it because you believe in the intent behind the racial slur. You're doing it because you're an idiot. You're doing it because you're a dumb kid that wants to be rebellious and wants to seem edgy. And look at all the problems that you caused over something that you probably didn't even believe in. Just stupid. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
App.
You know, I saw one of my Facebook friends post yesterday how they went to Crispy Crunchy Chicken and got themselves a family tender meal, a family boneless chicken meal. They got enough for everybody with enough sides, enough biscuits, all of that. Of course, you want to call ahead to Crispy Crunchy Chicken, located inside Gas Express at the corner of Belleville Avenue and Tarkin Hill Road in New Bedford. You want to call ahead if you're going to get a family size meal because they make everything pretty fresh. They don't make it a whole bunch of head, you know, a whole bunch of chicken ahead of time and have it sit on the warmer and wait for somebody to come in and pick it up. No, they make it in small batches so that when you come in and get it, it's nice and fresh, so that it is crispy, so that it is crunchy. But that's why if you want to order a family meal, you want to call ahead just so that they can have time to prepare it and you don't have to wait around. But otherwise, you can stop in at any point and get a 2-, 3-, 4-piece crunch box with some of their delicious bone-in or boneless chicken. Big, meaty pieces of chicken that's not greasy, that is crispy, that is crunchy, that is lightly breaded and mildly Cajun spiced. And then also their great sides, potato wedges, macaroni and cheese, jambalaya, beans and rice, and of course, their famous honey biscuits. All of that available, along with the Cajun chicken sandwich. If you just want a quick lunch, the Cajun chicken sandwich and some potato wedges are a great choice. All available at Crispy Crunchy Chicken, located inside Gas Express at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue in New Bedford. You can also get it via GotChew, Uber Eats, and DoorDash. But stop in and have some today and find out why they say if you don't know how good it is, you just haven't tried it yet. Because everybody is raving about Crispy Crunchy Chicken. It's time now to go into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt. When we come back on the other side of that, we will get your phone calls, 508-996-0500, as well as your app chat messages and your open line voicemails. But now let's turn things over to Phil.
Relief on the way in the wake of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. A star-studded Biden fundraiser raises a ton of cash. And Harvard University says goodbye to human skin.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A request from Maryland Governor Wes Moore has been approved by the Biden administration. The state will receive $60 million in emergency relief funds following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge earlier this week. The company that employed workers who were on the bridge when it collapsed would like them to be remembered. Bronner Builders Executive Vice President Jeffrey Pritzker requesting that a memorial plaque with the names of the victims be placed at the entrance of the new bridge once it's built.
To the families, to the spouses, to the children, to see the names up there, see their family, their loved ones memorialized, I think it would be a wonderful thing. And you never bring anybody back, but at least you can preserve the memory in that fashion.
Six employees were on the bridge when it was struck by a cargo vessel overnight Tuesday, sending eight people into the water. Two workers were rescued. Divers recovered the bodies of two others Wednesday, and efforts to recover the remaining four will continue when conditions are safe. President Biden's star-studded fundraiser in New York raked in over $25 million. More from Mark Mayfield.
Biden was joined Thursday by former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, as well as celebrities like Stephen Colbert, Queen Latifah, and Lizzo. Ticket prices started at $250, but some of the night's largest contributors donated up to $500,000. The fundraiser capped a long day of campaigning for Biden, Obama, and Clinton, who also sat for an interview with the podcast Smartless earlier in the day. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calling on Congress to deliver critical aid to Kyiv and its war with Russia. Zelensky briefed House Speaker Mike Johnson on the battlefield situation, warning of Ukraine's dwindling resources and Russia's advances. A Texas appeals court is throwing out a black woman's five-year prison sentence for illegal voting. Crystal Mason was sentenced to prison in 2018 after claiming she didn't know she was ineligible to vote because of a previous tax fraud conviction. Federal prosecutors say disgraced former attorney and convicted double murderer Alex Murdoch failed a lie detector test he had to take as part of his plea agreement for his financial crimes. The U.S. Attorney's Office in South Carolina says he's not telling them the whereabouts of over $6 million he swindled out of his clients. Harvard's library says it's removed human skin used to bind a book from the 1880s. The French book, part of the university's collection since 1934, is a meditation on the soul and life after death.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins headed off to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the eighth consecutive year. They have a game with the Washington Capitals on Saturday. Red Sox scoring an opening day win against the Seattle Mariners 6-4. They play again tonight at 9:40 out west. And the Celtics were close, but they lost to the Atlanta Hawks last night 123-122 in overtime. They head to New Orleans to play the Pelicans on Saturday night.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We'll start the day with rain. That'll take us through the morning hours. Patchy fog in there as well. We are expecting the rain to end, a lot of clouds to hang around, and winds are going to be gusty, too, at times exceeding 30 miles per hour. Look for your high of 53. For tonight, this is when the clearing happens. During the overnight, your low will be near 35, and Saturday will be sun-filled with a high near 57. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station. 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. You're probably not thinking on a morning like this about solar, but if you had solar panels installed, you'd still be saving money even though it's raining. How does that work? Well, nobody can give you the answer to that question better than Isaacson Solar. Isaacson Solar is a legitimate, trustworthy solar company who is locally based. They are right here on the South Coast. They're located in Fall River. They're not coming into town, installing a bunch of solar panels on people's homes, and then moving on to the next location. They are here. They are part of the community, and they want to see you save with solar. And as such, they will give you honest, straightforward answers to all of your questions about solar. Like some of those gimmicks, like getting paid to go solar or getting a new free roof if you sign up for solar. So they can answer all of the questions that you have, including whether or not your home is a good fit for solar. And they will tell you if it is or it isn't. They're not going to try to force it on you if your home isn't right for it. So if you want those simple, direct, honest answers to all of your questions about possibly going solar on your home, then visit isaacsonsolar.com today. They will come out, they will talk to you, they will take a look, and if your home is a good fit for solar, they will give you a free, no-obligation quote. Again, isaacsonsolar.com is the place to go to start the process of finding out if solar is right for you. And you heard Phil in the news mentioning that book that has been removed from Harvard University, which is bound in human skin. The name of the book is De Destinés de l'Âme, or Destinies of the Soul. And they tested this thing in 2014 and determined that it is, in fact, made from human skin. They're going to keep the book. They're going to just remove the binding. It is a meditation on the soul and life after death. It was written in the mid-1800s. The author, Arsène Houssay, is said to have given the book to his friend, Dr. Ludovic Boulan, a doctor who then reportedly bound the book with skin from the body of an unclaimed female patient who had died of natural causes. Now Harvard has decided to take this off. And understandably so. But it is not the only book bound in human skin that can be found in Boston. The Boston Anatheum has a book that is bound in human skin. It is the 1837 Memoirs and Deathbed Confession of Thief and Highwayman James Allen, alias George Walton, and he also had other aliases as well. And his dying wish was to have one copy of the book bound in leather made from the skin from his own back. And that one copy, by the way, this comes from OurNewEnglandLegends.com, great podcast on New England legends by my friend Jeff Belanger and Ray Osier. The one copy is embossed with these words in Latin: Hic liber Waltonus cut compactus est. This book is bound in the skin of Walton. And you can actually read the book. There's a PDF of it that you can read on the Boston Anatheum website. But check it out. Go to OurNewEnglandLegends.com. Look up podcast 193, a Boston book bound in human skin. And I don't remember if it was that one or the one in Harvard. But one of them was actually done in a publishing house or bookseller. I don't remember exactly the details. That is on a location that is in the Boston Ghost Tours. When you go and you take the walking tours around Boston, it's not that far from the Omni Hotel, I believe, if I remember correctly. And this site of the former, again, I don't remember if it was a bookbinder or a publisher or a bookshop or whatever, but where they bound the book in human skin is now a Subway store, like a Subway sandwich shop. Or at least it was when I took the tour back in 2018. So you can go in there and get a sandwich at the same place where they bound books in human skin. And also, interestingly enough, if you're familiar with William Mumler and the Mumler spirit photography, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those. There's that famous photo of Mary Todd Lincoln sitting in the chair and the ghost of Abraham Lincoln is behind her. Mumler photographs were supposedly, Mumler had this ability to photograph spirits around people. A lot of people just think that he was using double exposures to fool people into thinking there were ghosts around them. But yet he had photos that look like people's relatives when he couldn't have known them. Now, I don't really believe in the Mumler photographs, but there's, you know, twists and turns into the story. Anyway, the studio where Mumler would take these photographs in Boston, which I think is not that far from Faneuil Hall, if I remember correctly, that's now a falafel place. So these these places with macabre history in Boston are living new lives as places where you can go and sit down and eat. So you have to decide, do I want to go eat in the falafel place where a bunch of ghosts might have hung around and could still be hanging around? Or do I want to go eat in the Subway shop where they used to bind books in human skin? It's your choice. You know what I would say? Why not both? 508-996-0500. You can also use App Chat or Open Line Voicemail on the WBSM app, which is brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. And the best part about the WBSM app is that you can read everything on your phone and you know that we're never going to bind it all in human skin. Although if your phone case is made out of human skin, please don't let us know. We would have to alert the authorities. Unless you're like George Walton and you just had it done from your own skin. All right, got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
One, two, three, four.
And, you know, a matter of trust is what you have when you work, say, at Hasbro Children's Hospital in Providence. You have trust in your fellow employees that they're doing the right thing. You're not expecting that one of your coworkers is placing hidden cameras in the bathroom, allegedly. And Jason Baker, the former employee of the hospital, who was charged with voyeurism after that hidden camera was found in the bathroom at Hasbro Children's Hospital, and who confessed to having put it in there. He was arraigned yesterday. He's due back in court in April for a pretrial conference. But the interesting thing is the investigation is ongoing. There's the possibility that there may have been more. And they are investigating that possibility. And that makes me wonder, although I haven't seen anything to suggest this, was it only staff bathrooms? Or did he place them in some patient bathrooms? You know, we kind of asked that question yesterday. Is it possible? And I guess we'll find out because the investigation is still ongoing. Just, again, you think that you can have the trust. I don't even, you know, I'm not a shy person necessarily, and I don't really care if people know things about me. I will go out into the parking lot, stand next to my car, take off my shirt and change into another shirt from the back of my car. Like, I'll do that. I don't care. I'm not shy. But also, I'm the kind of person where if I go into the restroom, the men's room here in the station, and the women's room is right next to it, somebody goes into the women's room, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna wait so that they don't hear me. You know, I take the bathroom to be a very private place. Wouldn't want to have somebody putting cameras in there. Oh, but Tim, you take a lot of bathroom mirror selfies. That's my choice. That's my choice. I decided to take that photo. No, I don't think I take a lot. I'm just kidding. If I do, I'm sorry for being weird. But no, I'm not. I'll never apologize for being weird. But the case here is concerning because, again, they don't know the extent to which he was doing this. Just because he confessed to one, you know, doesn't mean he's not trying to soften the blow here if they were to find out exactly what he was doing. So, again, we'll see what happens as that investigation is ongoing. Also a matter of trust was the parents who let their children work on Nickelodeon programs. And if you've seen that docu-series on ID, it's also available on Max, Quiet on Set. It is an analysis of the things that went on these Nickelodeon shows. My brother mentioned to me last night at bowling that there's another episode that's going to come out. I don't know if that's like true or if it's just another special. I haven't looked it up yet, but he said that there's other stuff that's coming out that people want to come forward and talk about after this one. So I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But Melissa Joan Hart, who starred in Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon, she came out on the Meghan McCain podcast and said, I believe all of what these kids are saying, well, these former child stars are saying, but that I didn't see any of that when I was involved in filming in Nickelodeon. And, you know, I've seen comments about people blasting her for saying that. But she's only giving you her own perspective. First of all, she said she believes the victims, so I don't know why you would be jumping down her throat for it. But she said, in my experiences, she only worked on one show on Nickelodeon. I don't remember if they filmed that at Nickelodeon Studios or not. But it was certainly, if they did, it was still when they were filming in Florida before they moved everything out to California, which seems to have been where a lot of the problems started. But I might have even been back in the days when Nickelodeon was just ordering those shows from other production companies instead of having their own in-house production. And go and watch an episode of Clarissa Explains It All versus an episode of, you know, the Dan Schneider produced shows. And they feel different. They feel a lot more innocent. There's less adult humor. Like, they're talking to the kids, and they don't care if an adult is watching it. In fact, they'd probably think it was creepy if an adult was watching it. Whereas, you know, the Dan Schneider shows, it was more like a wink and a nod all the time to the adults. Like, we know you're watching this. And we know why, you're weirdo. So I think that her experiences are probably exactly that. I mean, Nickelodeon in its early days, and I would say that, you know, from when did it start? 78? But it really kind of got kicked into high gear in 80 when they brought over You Can't Do That on Television. So from 80 to really, what, 96 is when they started bringing in some of these other shows. It definitely felt a lot more innocent. Now, maybe that's just because that was also my childhood time, but it seemed that way to me. And I think that there's just too much on child stars today anyway. It was bad enough, child stars of the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We know what happened to a lot of them. But it's even worse now that they're out there on social media. So you can't just be a kid starring in a TV show. You've also got to be a kid starring in a TV show that's on social media, that's making TikTok videos, that's going to appearances, that's doing this, that's putting out albums, that's doing the marketing, having t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. So it's really, really horrible without there being all this other stuff going on. 508-996-0500. Take my final break of this hour and be back in a few moments.
Good morning, Mass. This is Brett Michaels. And I just want to tell you right now, it is time for your morning medal right here on the Tim Weisberg Show on WBSM.
You know, we're having nothing but a good time here, as we do each morning, and we'll have more of it coming up after the news. And we have room for you at 508-996-0500, as well as app chat messages and open line voicemail.